This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I should have brought my remote broadcast equipment home for the holidays, and then maybe I could still do the show from the house this morning and have some turkey Thanksgiving leftover. That's my favorite part of the Thanksgiving dinner is the turkey meat that you have for leftovers. You just go to the fridge, pull out some more turkey meat. You know, sometimes you throw it on the roll with a little extra butter and a ton of salt and pepper. But all you need is really the turkey meat and some salt and pepper, and I'm good to go. But man, it'd be nice. I'm thinking, man, I got up early this morning, had some coffee, had my normal protein shake. But after having Thanksgiving dinner, I want to keep eating turkey now for about another week. But here we are. We're at the studio. And speaking of leftovers, I was getting the studio ready here with all of our show prep for this morning, and I was thinking, man, you know, normally on a Monday after a big holiday weekend, it's like, what are we going to talk about today? What is in the news today? And usually I get a couple stories on our Montana Talks website the night before. I got some stuff there, but nothing that I wrote. I was like, I'll save it for Monday. But Monday after a big holiday weekend, it's like, man, what are we going to talk about? And like, man, we got a whole stack of stuff. We got some great content to cover this morning. Plus, of course, we're back in action taking your phone calls and much more as well. If you want to jump in on the phone lines here, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. But speaking of leftovers, this was some show prep that I had left, some news stories scattered across the studio desk after Wednesday's show. I was like, okay, show's over. I'm getting the heck out of here for the holiday weekend, so I left all the show prep still on the desk. You know, that way if you show up late, you still got something sitting in front of you. But this was something I didn't get to Wednesday. Christina Wong, who is a national security correspondent for Breitbart News, she says this: we need a Milei in America. She's referring to the Argentina president-elect Javier Milei, who gave a big speech after his big election upsetting the radical left down in Argentina. He said this in his big speech where he was embracing the ideas of liberty. And this was the quote that Christina Wong had shared from Milei, the president-elect down in Argentina. "Today ends the idea that the state is loot to be divided among politicians and their friends. Today ends that vision that the victimizers are the victims and the victims the victimizers. Today we retake the path that made this country great. Today we again embrace the ideas of liberty." And this came from a piece in Breitbart News by Francis Martel on the new Argentina president-elect. But it sounds like a great speech all around. And, you know, when we talk about a Milei in America, I think we all know exactly who that is. In fact, kind of funny, the Drudge Report, which is, you know, really gone left-leaning here in recent years, they've got a big photo of Donald J. Trump, and Milei has been referred to as the Donald Trump of Argentina. Big photo of Donald J. Trump. 50 days until the first vote. Revenge or rejection? The revenge is going to be the rejection of the deep state. You could say both. A little bit of both there. A little bit of both.
Here is your Montana news. Private security personnel detained an assailant after he tried to brandish a handgun. This altercation happened at midnight Saturday on the 200 block of Broadway in downtown Billings. Security responded to a domestic disturbance where the male suspect intended to hit a woman. The suspect then fought with the security. Colerate reports that when the attacker produced the gun, one of the security guards took away the weapon. When police officers arrived on scene, the man was handcuffed and ready for arrest. He faces three charges of assault with a weapon and concealed carry while intoxicated. A federal judge has significantly shortened the state's wolf trapping season to protect grizzly bears that have not yet begun hibernating. The season could have started as early as today and run through March 15th. U.S. District Judge Donald Malloy shortened the season to January 1st through February 15th. He said it's reasonably certain that almost all grizzly bears will be in dens then. Grizzly bears are listed as protected under the Endangered Species Act, and the act prevents states from authorizing activities that are reasonably likely to kill, trap, or capture a listed species. The state plans to appeal the injunction. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Slee.
Here's a look at your real weather. for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the region today, high temperatures will stay up around the lower 40s across the region. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy, lows from around 20 in Bozeman to the mid-20s in Billings. And then for Tuesday, back into more sunshine and more mild weather. Mid to upper 40s for highs. On Tuesday night, clear and quiet, lows from 20 in Bozeman to the mid-20s in the Billings area. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, my friend Dan in Big Timber, he bailed me out here. He gave us a lead on some of the big news we could start the morning with here this morning. I got an email from Dan last night while I was doing a little bit of show prep, trying to, you know, catch up on the news I might have missed over the Thanksgiving weekend. And he said, hey, Montana Senator Steve Daines was just live on Fox News with former Congressman Trey Gowdy. He was talking about how the Republicans are going to win back control of the United States Senate. So thanks to Dan and Big Timber for the heads up on that one. Thanks to our producer, Travis, for snagging the audio. Let's listen in on just a portion of that segment with Montana Senator Steve Daines and Trey Gowdy on Fox Sunday night. And, of course, Senator Daines is now the head of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, so it is his job to take back Republican control of the Senate.
Well, let's start in your great state. You have a House member who is arguably best known for opposing his own speaker, running against a former Navy SEAL who's a successful businessman. So what's going to happen there in Montana?
Well, first of all, in Montana, you know, every statewide elected official is a Republican now, with the exception of John Tester. Trump won Montana by 16 points back in 2020. We are a very red state. The Congressman Rosendale is not in the race yet, so I hope Matt stays in that House seat. He needs to build seniority there. I work with Matt, but I think it's best that we nominate Tim Sheehy. We recruited him into this race, Trey. He is a Navy SEAL. 100 combat missions for Tim Sheehy. He is an amazing American. He is a businessman. He also was married to a Marine. They both met at the Naval Academy. They both served in Afghanistan. They have 4 children. It's a great American story. Tim Sheehy will appeal across the broad spectrum of the electorate, not just to Republican voters, but to independent voters. And the key to winning in 2024 is finding candidates that can not just win primary elections, but can also win general elections and have a broader appeal.
All right, you mentioned general elections and broad appeal. In Arizona, you have a candidate who claims Trump won, claims she won, insulted the Bushes and the McCains. Is that really the best candidate to win statewide in Arizona? And what about Doug Ducey?
Yeah, well, I know Doug Ducey. In fact, we worked at Procter & Gamble together once upon a time in a prior life. But the key to winning in 24, Trey, is to not to focus on grievances from the past, but to focus on the issues that matter to voters. And there's a lot of issues that matter to voters. The high price of gas, the high price of groceries, of course, inflation, the out-of-control southern border and the crime wave that's coming across this country, as well as the terror threat from our southern border, and the weakness that Joe Biden projects on the American stage as he represents our country in foreign policy, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, a complete debacle, the complete failure of the appeasement strategy with Iran. And so if our candidates and Carrie Lake focuses on those issues and not on grievances of the past, Arizona will be a very competitive state and Carrie Lake can win Arizona.
Well, I hear she's on something of an apology tour, trying to mend fences. I just don't think there are enough Republicans in Arizona that you can afford to alienate them, but what do I know? Let's move to Ohio. Ohio voted for Trump and J.D. Vance and Sherrod Brown. I can't reconcile that. So who is the candidate in Ohio that you think can beat Sherrod Brown?
Well, Trey, let's step back and look at the bigger map. This is the best map Republicans have had in 10 years to the United States Senate. We start with these three very red states of West Virginia, Montana, and Ohio, where in every one of those three states, every single statewide elected official is a Republican, except for John Chester in Montana, Sherrod Brown in Ohio, and Joe Manchin in West Virginia. Now, Joe Manchin's announced he's retiring, so that's going to be a seat we likely will pick up. That takes it to 50-50. Now it's down to Montana and Ohio as our two most likely pickup seats. In Ohio, you look at J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance won with 53.3% of the vote in 2022. That's the exact same number that Trump won by in 2020. It shows us that despite J.D. Vance being outspent 3-1, Ohio has become a red state. It's going to be difficult for Sherrod Brown to be any one of our three candidates in Ohio. We like all three of them. We're not endorsing any of those three. They all bring their own respective resumes and backgrounds. And I like our chances in Ohio, but it's going to be a massive race, Trey. That's probably going to be a $300 million Senate race because the Democrats know they've got to keep Ohio or they lose the United States Senate.
Now, that's interesting. A $300 million Senate race in Ohio. We're probably going to have a $500 million Senate race here in Montana. I mean, that's why you're already hearing ads on the airwaves. You're already seeing ads from both Liberal Senator John Tester and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. So that's interesting that we could see more money spent in a smaller population state like Montana than in a state like Ohio, even though both are very big U.S. Senate races this year. That is very interesting. Bidenomics, meanwhile, has become a negative word. I know some of you are thinking, when was it ever not a negative word? Why did Joe Biden think that somehow Bidenomics would be a positive word to use, describe what's going on in this country right now? Why would he think that with high energy prices, high gas prices, I know they've come down a little bit, but they're still high compared to what they were previously under Trump. Why would they somehow think that Bidenomics is somehow a positive word? Well, Bidenomics has become a negative word, and this is not coming from Republicans. This is coming from a liberal Washington Post reporter, and it sure sounds like Kristen Welker, who is the new host of MSNBC's Meet the Depressed or Meet the Press. She seemed like she agreed here. We'll play that audio for you coming up here after the Farm and Ranch Report and much more here live with Monday's Montana Talks. Phone lines are open 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordblond. U.S. dairy access to Canada under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement has been limited under a ruling handed down by a dispute settlement panel concluding Canada's latest tariff rate quota moves do not violate its obligations under the USMCA. The newest dispute ruling is the latest salvo in the cross-border maneuvers by Canada that have limited U.S. dairy exports as Canadian officials continue finding new ways to protect their supply management system in the dairy industry. Friday's ruling comes after a January 2022 ruling in the U.S.'s favor against Canada over claims Canada had improperly restricted its market to U.S. dairy products. Canada adjusted some of its dairy tariff rate quota rules, which the U.S. dairy industry and the Biden administration maintained still fell short of Canada's market obligations under the trade agreement. The latest dispute panel ruled Canada's changes are not inconsistent with the dairy provisions under the trade deal. Despite the ruling, since 2020, when the USMCA was signed, U.S. dairy exports to Canada have risen, reaching $1 billion in value in 2022. And through the first 9 months of 2023, the U.S. has exported nearly $818 million in dairy products to Canada, up about 4.8%. compared to the first 9 months of 2022.
This is Rachel Stevenson inviting you to the Stevenson's Diamond Dot Fall Production Sale on November 27th. This offering of registered Angus cattle includes 225 bull calves, 92-year-old bulls, 130 registered females, and over 1,000 commercial females, including bred heifers and young cows. Sale starts at 12 noon at the ranch south of Hobson, Montana.
Ready for a real PRF partner? At Ag Risk Advisors, this isn't our first rodeo.
We are one of the most experienced in pasture rangeland forage. Honesty, commitment, trust. Many companies use these words. At AgRisk Advisors, we earn them.
The deadline to enroll in pasture rangeland forage insurance is December 1st. Visit prfadvisors.com to enroll.
Returning back here on this Monday morning, starting today, the USDA will institute a separate category within its National Weekly Direct Swine Non-Carcass Merit Premium Report. This category specifically addresses hogs raised in compliance with animal confinement laws such as California's Proposition 12 and Massachusetts Question 3. Those voter-approved initiatives require pork sold in those states to be from hogs born to sows raised in housing that meets the state's standards. Other states also have laws restricting the use of certain sow housing. Under the Livestock Mandatory Reporting Program, USDA had published information on non-carcass merit premiums paid for ACL-compliant hogs under an other category that also included other non-carcass characteristics, such as antibiotic-free. The national pork producers say the number of ACL-compliant merit premiums submitted under the livestock market reporting was sufficient to warrant a separate category. Other information you can use, the 2023 Irrigation and Water Management Survey is now open for producer response. The survey is a special study of the 2022 Census of Agriculture and provides the only comprehensive data set of irrigation activities and water use across America's farms, ranches, and horticultural operations. Producer input through the survey will aid USDA's efforts to promote efficient irrigation practices and long-term sustainability of water resources across the nation. I'm Lee Nordlund, Western Ag Network.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, gee, I see the liberal judges here in Montana went on a tear right before the Thanksgiving holiday. They're like, oh, yeah, let's crank out some more of our liberal BS here before the Thanksgiving holiday. This was a headline from KTVH-TV. I wanted to I'll play that meet the press audio for you here in a second. But, yeah. But there is some Montana-specific news we want to get to here this morning as well. The start of the Montana wolf trapping season on hold after federal judge's ruling. Is that a surprise to anybody? Well, if it's a surprise, the wolf trapping season was set to open today in many areas here in Montana, but it's now on hold in much of the state after a federal judge's order. Now, if you're surprised, why would a liberal judge, even a liberal judge in Montana, why would they stop something as common sense as a wolf trapping season, right? There's plenty of wolves here. They've been expanding their population like crazy. Plenty of grizzlies, too. Well, the judge is U.S. District Court Judge Donald Malloy, liberal judge Don Malloy. So, again, this is probably the same guy who will probably give a green light to the communist Chinese and their influence and spy application known as TikTok. But that judge will shut down your business if you do business here in Montana, whether that's wolf trapping or whether it's the timber business, you name it. He will shut down your business, but then give a green light to the communist Chinese. And the guy's just been a liberal left-wing activist for his entire career on the federal bench. But, hey, that's what happens. You vote for Democrats to be United States senators. These are the type of rulings you're going to get. These liberal judges are the ones that do the dirty work for the Democrat senators. The Democrat senators will say, well, hey, all skippy-zippy with their fake political commercials. All shucky-ducky. Ah, well, you know, with the fake gun rack in the background, pretending to be, you know, just normal, old everyday Montanans. And then they put these liberal judges on the bench, to shut down, you know, forest health projects, to shut down the wolf trapping season, to shut down coal, you name it. That's what they do. Speaking of coal, apparently the liberal Montana Supreme Court had an anti-coal ruling that came out here recently. Or wait, well, let me see. Yep, as I expected. No, the liberal Montana Supreme Court shut down a permit for a coal mine to continue operations in Montana. So whether it's the state Supreme Courts here in Montana or the liberal federal judges, I'm telling you, this is why these judicial races are so important. This is why these state Supreme Court elections, we're going to have two Supreme Court seats up in this coming year. Judge races across the state, over half the judges on the state district court bench, put the federal court aside, the state district court bench, over half of the judges were appointed by a former Democrat governor. And that's why you see so often these activist liberal judges shutting down Montana, but opening up the checkbook for these radical environmental groups. Okay, Bidenomics has become a negative word, and that's from liberal reporters. I'll play that audio in 60 seconds.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The negotiations happening over which hostages and prisoners should be swapped between Hamas and Israel on what's scheduled to be the last day of a four-day truce. There's talk of extending it to get more hostages home, but some are unaccounted for and may be held by groups other than Hamas.
I've seen the reports that Hamas says that it can't locate all of them. That is, of course, horrific beyond measure.
Israeli government spokesman Avon Levy. Two missiles are fired toward a U.S. Navy ship, the USS Mason, responding to a tanker ship's distress call in the Gulf of Aden.
The MV Central Park had been hijacked, and the suspected hijackers were arrested as they tried to get away. U.S. officials tell us two missiles were then fired from a part of nearby Yemen controlled by the Iran-backed Houthi militia.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The missiles fell short. Those five suspected hijackers are being questioned by the U.S. military. A Japanese destroyer assisted with the operation. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Looking at this KTVH-TV report, though, some wolf trapping will still open today as originally scheduled. Some parts like Region 6, Region 7 will still have it, but this ruling to shut down the wolf trapping season to halt the wolf trapping season affects western and central Montana. FWP geographic regions 1 through 5, plus Hill, Blaine, and Phillips counties from Region 6. Even though there is going to be some trapping allowed in parts of Region 6 and parts of Region, and then in Region 7, the article does note that the vast majority of wolf trapping occurs in the area under this liberal judge's ruling. Okay, Bidenomics has become a negative word among Democrats. This is from a Washington Post reporter. This is a Washington Post reporter named Leanne Caldwell. She was on NBC's Meet the Depressed, or Meet the Press. Sorry, I'm getting the audio queued up here. She was on NBC's Meet the Press Sunday morning.
Based on my conversations, a lot of Democrats are saying his messaging needs to shift away from Bidenomics to really understanding Americans who say we're not feeling this yet.
Yeah, Bidenomics has really been kind of become a negative word, especially among Democrats, because it's not working. I was texting with some Democratic members of Congress last night, just trying to get a read over the holiday weekend, what they're hearing at home and what people are saying. And these members said that it is just not looking good for President Biden.
It is just not looking good. Bidenomics has become a negative word. Yeah, why would you attach your name to what has happened with the economy since Joe Biden and John Tester have had control over Washington, D.C., with Democrat control in the Senate, with Democrats controlling the White House? Why would you attach your name to this train wreck that's going on right now all across America? All right, well, coming up after the break, we'll jump right into the phone lines, 406-294-0970, the number for you. You know, one of the big reasons why this Bidenomics term is so unpopular is because everything is so expensive right now. Everything is. Here's the deal, though. If you want to save some money on prescription drugs, not only save money on prescription drugs, but also save money on gas as well, here's what you can do. You can transfer your prescriptions to Farm 406. You can have them deliver your prescriptions to you so you don't have to gas up your car and drive to them. They can deliver them in the mail, or if you live in the Billings area, they'll drive them to you. Here's the other thing is that you can take advantage of their Cost Plus program. Sometimes this will be better cost than your insurance even covered prescriptions. So make sure you get all the Farm 406. Ask them about their Cost Plus program. As I understand it, you can get all of your prescriptions for the entire year at cost. Check them out, farm406.com. That's with a PH. Or if you're in Billings, drop by 38th and Grand.
He is not squishy, and he is definitely not a journalist. He is Dan Bongino, and you can hear him each weekday 10 to 1 on News Talk 103.3 and AM 970.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, we got shots fired here from Tater and Forsyth. Shots fired from Tater and Forsyth. Any of you Cats fans, brace yourselves here. Tater, she sent us this message out of Forsyth. The thundering herd, it is headed to Bozeman to take on the Cats. Tater says, I'm a North Dakota native, so I have to go for the bison. Tater, do you call them the bison or do you call them the bison? It's kind of like Boise versus Boise. I've always said Boise, Idaho, and then you're like, oh, they actually pronounce it Boise. That just sounds weird to me. Same thing with this whole bison thing. It's like they're the North Dakota bison, if you ask me. And then they're like, it's the bison on the field. It's like, bison? Where did you get the Z from on this one here? But, yeah, in fact, sidebar, when I went to Howard University for my first couple of years of college while I was working back in D.C., Howard is the bison as well. But they called themselves the bison, not the bison. They weren't the Howard Bison. They were the Howard Bison. And but, yeah, North Dakota, it's a little different in North Dakota. Tater, thanks for the message. But, yeah, Victor Flores has a piece here for 406mtsports.com. North Dakota State has been a familiar foe for the Montana State football team in recent years. But the next meeting between NDSU and MSU will look significantly different than the previous three. NDSU, which was the longtime dominant force in the FCS, now has kind of ceded that ground to South Dakota State instead. Big game coming up in Bozeman this coming weekend. Meanwhile, in Missoula, the Grizz are going to face Delaware. Delaware reminds me of some Saturday Night Live, a couple of guys from back in the 1990s. Let's get into the phone lines here. We've got Nancy and Roundup first up this Monday. Nancy, hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Great to hear from you.
I sure did. It was lovely, and little Roundup here is in the Christmas spirit. I mean, there's decorations all over the place, and my neighbors, the first-time homeowners, they're decorating their little house, and it's really just fun and enjoyable to just kind of wander around the town and see all the enthusiasm and the happiness for the holiday season. And Aaron, I want to talk about this this assassination classroom story that you posted, and I want to thank Jesse Browning and also you and Montana Talksback for putting this story up, because, you know, people like me who don't have kids in school, we're unaware of what's going on until somebody like you people tell us. And my first thoughts on this story was this. I thought, who's behind this? Is it the Chinese? And a lot of people, I guess, have been asking that question. So I did some self-educating, and I found out that this assassination classroom, it's based on a Japanese 3D game that they had in that country, and that China actually banned this in 2015. And believe it or not, the Chinese have this group called the Moral Guardians. They're the ones who decide what their children can and cannot see. But I want to tell you this. Due to the fact that we have all these school shootings and all this going on, I cannot believe that anything this controversial and violent is put on into our school libraries. It just shocks me.
It's crazy,
I mean,
isn't
nothing,
it? It's a book about... It's a book. Yeah, the book is, for those who missed the story, it's called Assassination Classroom. It's called Assassination Classroom. It's a book that talks about kids shooting teachers, kids shooting up classrooms. And this is on school library bookshelves at Billings West and at Billings Senior High School, probably at other high school libraries across the state of Montana, the more digging people find. But, yeah, isn't it interesting that China will protect their children from things like this. They have guardians to protect their kids from stuff like this. Just like China doesn't allow the transgender propaganda targeting kids on the Chinese version of TikTok. But boy, it's full guns a-blazing on the American version of TikTok to target kids here in America. If China has guardians to protect kids from this stuff in their schools, what would we call the people pushing this on kids in our schools?
Well, I call them left-wing nutcases. They're so confused and just they're not in the reality of the situation. And I tell you, I've been talking to some retired school teachers here in Roundup, and like me, you know, ever since Ronald Reagan tried to get rid of the Department of Education, I've been on this thing where I think that we should actually dismantle our public school education and just start from growing up and rebuild it. And these school teachers agree with me. It's really disheartening to see what's happened to our public school system. I think it's a great idea, and we all deserve a good education, and I just feel so sorry for the kids. But this, my understanding is this is actually a 21 book series
I can't remember there. Jesse Browning. I know in our the story on our Montana Talks website, I know it says how many books are in the series. I think 21 is accurate because I think West High has all of them, if I remember right, and Billings Senior has about 10 of the books in the book series. And it's this like Japan anime cartoon type stuff, which is popular with kids, but again. Of all the books on the, you know, you only have so much space on these school library bookshelves. So, like, why does the book about assassinating teachers in the classrooms make the bookshelves? And then another book may not. I mean, these are the same, you know, isn't it just crazy? These liberal leftists in Montana, they were outraged that Dennis Prager books might show up in schools in Montana. Dennis Prager is just a solid American patriot, conservative. He's got Prager U. He also happens to be Jewish. But, boy, I tell you what, when the Council on Islamic Relations complained that Dennis Prager's books got approved by the Office of Public Instruction here in Montana, the liberals went crazy when the Islamic wackos at CARE, the Council on Islamic Relations, complained about the Jewish guy's books showing up in schools in Montana, potentially. But a book about assassinating teachers in the classroom, they have no problem. In fact, they will defend that book being on the bookshelves. I would love one of these librarians who supports keeping a book like that on the bookshelves to join us on the show. And you guys know me. We're going to be nice. I mean, we're not going to, like, just name call and bash him. But I'd be really interested, like, because I feel like, this is just a knee-jerk reaction for them. It's like they so desperately want to be champions for free speech that, oh, just because somebody complains, they will put a book on there just to poke you in the eye, and if you dare suggest that it shouldn't be there, they want to be champions for free speech. But yet these same people will shut down free speech in other categories of life. I just think, like, they... It's like they watched too many Care Bears episodes when they were kids, and now they think they're this social justice warrior. And it's like, no, you're just defending a book that talks about shooting teachers in the classroom. But you're also typically the same people that want to take away guns from the rest of us so that we can't defend ourselves. They will be pro-gun. So I've seen it in the comments on like our Facebook pages, for example, when we'll share we shared this story. There was this liberal nut job on there. We shared this story. And the guy was like on a commenting rampage. He commented like on six different stories that we shared. And he comments on this assassination classroom story. Oh, go away, Karen. You know, to the mom who was complaining about this assassination classroom book being there. But then like two stories later, he's commenting on a story about gun rights and saying, oh, you guys just blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, you literally were just defending a book about killing teachers in a classroom, and now you're against gun rights. For law-abiding citizens. Like, again, there is no talking logic with these people at all whatsoever. It's the wear the ribbon crowd. It's that, well, you know, this is what I'm supposed to think today. This is the side I'm so they have the gun control ribbon here, and then they have the assassination classroom ribbon right next to it. Again, there's no logic right here. It's just knee-jerk reactions, what we're seeing across the board. Nancy, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. I finally got my Christmas lights up. I don't know about you guys. So typically, like, I'm the like the wait till Thanksgiving weekend when I get some time off to do the Christmas lights kind of guy. You know, and I'm sometimes a bit of a procrastinator. So last year, I waited till Thanksgiving to get my Christmas lights on the house. And you remember last year, it was snow, it was cold, and it was nonstop. So there was no way I was getting on that roof for about like 4 months. So this year, if I was smart now, I would have done it like 2 weeks ago and it was 60 degrees and sunny. I would have put the Christmas lights up, waited to turn them on until after Thanksgiving. But no, instead I got it done on Saturday with that biting cold and the wind. But that's all right. You know, you grow up skiing in Montana and snowmobiling and sledding. That biting cold on your face actually felt kind of good. It's like, this is the Montana I grew up in right here. Yeah, bring it! So I'm on the roof with the Christmas lights looking like Griswold.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
By the way, a new congressional study, as I said, estimating the cost of all illegal immigrants, about 8 million now under Joe Biden, include gotaways. And we have no idea the thousands and thousands from the Middle East, that, you know, the tens of thousands from China and Russia. Yeah, well, guess what? Since Joe Biden became president, we're now paying for all of his illegal immigrants $451 billion a year. That's every year's annual total. In other words, you, the American taxpayer, will be shelling out an additional $451 billion next year.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with things I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of the disease called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, straight lines seem wavy, like when looking at a doorframe. For others, blurry or missing spots can make it hard to read or see loved ones' faces. Many have trouble seeing in low light, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you've been diagnosed with AMD and notice vision changes, don't wait. Talk to your eye doctor about GA today. Learn more at gawon'twait.com. That's gawon'twait.com.
Gov.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, lots of ground to cover this morning here on Montana Talks. Got a great message from Tim in Billings on the app. I want to share with you here as well. Also, today, we're going to have John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. He's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show today. I know it's Monday. Usually he joins us Tuesdays in the 8 o'clock hour. But tomorrow we got a special program coming up for you. We're going to be doing a radiothon all morning long. We've got a whole bunch of great guests that are going to be joining us throughout the morning. For Warriors in Quiet Waters, for the Bozeman-based Warriors in Quiet Waters, national organization, helping our veterans, helping our warriors get out there and enjoy the outdoors and really, transform their lives. So that's going to be the focus of tomorrow's show. So we're sneaking John Jackson in today, so that'll be a fun Monday morning kickoff for your week here on the program in the 8 o'clock hour. Several court stories that I want to share with you here. Coal mine expansion permit vacated by Montana Supreme Court. The liberal Montana Supreme Court, once again, with an anti-coal ruling. Thought it was interesting, too. Good job on Tom Lutie's part from the Billings Gazette. That was headline on one of his stories. There was another story that he produced on the same day. Montana school funding gets unexpected boost from coal. So, teachers, I want you all to know this. I want you to tell your labor union bosses that told you to shut up and wear masks, even though you guys were all against it. I want you to remind them, hey, when it comes time to endorse candidates for the Montana Supreme Court, when you have liberal justices on the Montana Supreme Court ruling against coal, and then we know that Montana school funding got this unexpected boost from coal. If you say that you support schools and you support school funding and you support teachers, then why would you endorse liberal justices for the Montana Supreme Court? I say that because I know we got a lot of great school teachers who listen to this program. There's going to be some good candidates for the Montana Supreme Court this year based on what I am hearing. And so I would urge you, hold your union boss's feet to the fire and force them to try to endorse somebody other than these liberal Supreme Court candidates, because it does affect school funding. Speaking of school funding, this was kind of interesting. This one also happened right as we were all taken off for the Thanksgiving holiday. The liberal Montana Supreme Court rejected Missoula County. Yeah, there were other counties thrown into the mix, but remember this whole 95 mills debate about property taxes and much more? Well, apparently the liberal Montana Supreme Court rejected the argument being made by counties like the very liberal, high-taxing county of Missoula. And they said, nope, the state sets the mills, and so the counties can't set the mills lower than 95 mills with this state portion, right? Anyway, we've got reaction from the governor to that decision and much more. But I don't know. That's kind of what I expected to happen, to be honest with you. Here's the thing. We'll get into the here's the thing part later on in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, because I think this is significant. But as we wrap up this hour of the program here, got a great message from Tim in Billings on our Montana Talks app. We kicked off the hour by talking about the U.S. Senate race here in Montana, the Senate races elsewhere across the country. Tim says that Liberal Senator John Tester is the beyond meat of moderates. Fake meat, fake moderate, fake Montanan. I was listening to a podcast yesterday while working around the house, and his ads assaulted my ears far too many times. They must be terrified of Tim Sheehy. If anybody believes the tripe that Tester is spewing on those ads, they haven't been paying attention to reality. Tim, you're exactly right. They are scared to death. Liberal Senator John Tester is scared to death of this Navy SEAL out of Belgrade, Montana, the CEO of Bridger Aerospace. Just scared to death. Why do you think he's spending this much money this early? Because Tester is terrified. Well said.